I don't even know where to start right now. I'm just so thankful that a man named Jesus took me in all of my failures. You may not understand some of this going on. You may not understand why he dances. You may not understand why we worship or why we shout, why we sing. But if you've been rescued by the love, if you've been rescued by the love of God, nobody else could have reached me where I was. Nobody else could have picked me up from where I was. Nobody else could have put me back together. Nobody else could have put a family back together. Nobody else but Jesus. It gets me excited. So undeserving of his love. But I am so thankful. I am so thankful that he didn't wait for me to straighten up. He didn't wait till I was sober. Glory! He didn't wait for me to be at a place where I could accept him. But God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man. Whoa, glory. Pastor, can you take another vacation? Because my goodness, when you come back, it feels good. It feels good in here. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I don't know where I'm going to start at, where I'm going to end at. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 10. I won't be long tonight. I just want to read you a couple things today. And man, the Spirit is so good. God's Spirit is so good inside this place. So good inside this place. And we're so undeserving of it. Boy, I am so glad, though. I am so glad that he still finds me no matter where I'm at. I'm so thankful for that. Glory to God. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 10. I just want to read one or maybe two verses here in verse 14. If you just want to just bear with me for a minute here. 1 Samuel, I said 10, I'm sorry, it's 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14, we're going to be in verse 29. The Bible says this. It says, "Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey." Ooh. I tasted a little tonight. Amen. "Hey, how much more if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found, for had there not been now much greater slaughter among the Philistines." You can be seated today. Listen, I want to just use this for a little thought tonight. As I was growing up, if you got a kid that's a little bit ornery in church, have hope. Have hope. I was a little ornery growing up in church. Now that I'm older, I'm still a little ornery, I guess, in church. But as a kid, I would crawl around the floor, and I would go to my mother's, I was old enough to eat candy, I guess, but I would crawl around the floor, and I'd go to her purse, and I would open up her purse, and it would always disappoint me, because when I'd reach in there, my mother, other than Sam's father, was the only people that I've ever met that likes whorehound candy. And I was so disappointed as a kid. I'd open it up and I'd be like, "Whorehound? Is that made out of dog or what is this stuff?" And I was always so disappointed about that
went out. I said, man, you didn't have a cinnamon wheel. We didn't have a butterscotch, nothing. It was always either whorehound or nothing. And then every once in a while, she would get something really good. And I would open up her purse during church, and she would have a little nougat in there, and it was called a bit of honey. You ever had those? Man, I hit the jackpot some Sundays at church. And I'd open that up, and man, I would eat that, and it was so good, you know, and I don't even know what's in that thing, but it's called a bit of honey. But the catchphrase on it was what always drew me to it. The catchphrase said, a little chew to get you through. A little chew to get you through. And you know what I was thinking about as we was just now in this worship, and man, the singing and the just everything was just amazing. I was thinking to myself, as I'm sitting there, man, and I'm just eating everything that God can throw at me, I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, a little chew to get you through. I didn't need a whole lot on Wednesday, but I needed something to carry me through unto Sunday. If I could just get a little chew, I can go ahead and get through, right? That's all I need, just a little bit, Lord. But see, what the problem with the Lord is that he don't believe in doing things a little bit. Amen. He didn't save me a little bit. He didn't cleanse me a little bit. He didn't cure me a little bit. He didn't put me back together a little bit. He didn't put my family back together a little bit. The Lord exceeds the need every time. He goes above and beyond all we could ever ask or think. He always gives a little extra. I said, Lord, just a little chew will do. And he said, get a mouthful, son. Glory to God. Boy, I tell you what. Here in this story, we find that Samuel, or in the book of Samuel, we find that Saul had gave a dumb order. And his order was that until I avenge mine enemies, nobody in this land of Israel was going to eat. They was under attack. They was having all kinds of problems. And Saul sent out a decree that said, no one's going to eat until I avenge mine enemies. Number one, they wasn't his enemies. Amen? It wasn't his battle. It was the Lord's enemies. It was the Lord's battles. But Saul said, they are my enemies. And that's not the way that God works. Amen? But if we back up here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, we find that what happened with Saul was that when God chose him, Jason preached a wonderful message if you was here and got to see that. He chose a wonderful Saul over here. I told somebody, he said, man, he really is a head and shoulder above everybody. I said, he's two heads and a shoulder above me. But he was a good choice for that man. But what we find happens here is that the Bible says that something happened in Saul that day. Saul didn't simply become king. God, the Bible says in chapter 10, God gave Saul a new heart. He told Saul, he said, Saul, you're going to go up. You're going to prophesy with the prophets. You're gonna find a man on his way back. Y'all gonna have this conversation. This is gonna happen. All this stuff is gonna happen. And it says that when Saul was gonna be turned away, that he shall be turned into another man. And then it says that God gave him a brand new heart. And I was thinking, I don't know, the people must have looked at Saul and they must have thought, well, yeah, it makes sense. Saul's going to be king, but he still looked exactly the same way when they looked upon him. Just as Jason had preached, when they looked at David, David didn't fit the part. David was young, he was ruddy, he didn't have the warrior qualities that I would look for in a king. But God never looked at what David had on the outside, it was what was dwelling inside, right? So what we see with Saul was that it wasn't Saul's physique that made him that way. It's the fact that God gave something inside of him that he was going to use and bring out what he needed from Saul. You see, in me, the day, night, week, month, whatever it was that I got saved, because I'm telling you, I needed a whole lot, amen. But when that happened, I still looked the exact same way. I still walked the same way. I didn't grow taller. I didn't get thinner. I didn't get bigger. Nothing on the outside of me changed, but there was something inside of my heart that took place, that where there was death, now there was life. I can't explain it. Lord knows I've tried. Why God would love me, why God would pick me, why God would save me, why God would die for me, yet He loved me. Something took place. Bible says that if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see, you didn't see what happened on the inside of me, but the effects I could see. The effects on my family I could see when Daddy wasn't a drunk. We could see the effects on the family. We could see the effects on the job. We could see the effects where I went based on what God had done for me. But I was thinking about how Jesus, when He come into this world, the Bible says that they didn't accept Him. They looked for a king. He wasn't born the way a king should be born. Bible even says that He didn't live the way a king should live. He lived poor. Our king ain't going to be poor. We can't accept a man like that. There was nothing about Him that was even kingly. The Bible says that they beheld Him. There was no beauty in Him that they should desire. He didn't look the part. He didn't even die the death that a king should die. But yet He rose again as King of kings and Lord of lords. He didn't look it, but it wouldn't matter what He looked like. I thought about this, how they must have thought when He was on the cross. We got it. That ain't the way kings die. We've got it. We've got it. We've won. We've won. And it wasn't until that third day when He arose again. Thank God they realized it wasn't what it looked like on the outside. There was something that happened on the inside. On the outside, he should have been dead. But on the inside, the Spirit of God was alive and well. Boy, the Spirit of God is alive and well within this place right now. You know what the enemy will do? He'll make you try to forget who you are. Who you are as a child of God, what it is that God's done in your life, what it is that He has brought you from. There are some times I never want to relive a moment that I've been in, but there are some times that I got to take him, the devil, back to a place where God found me and said, you know what? Look where I came from. It wasn't because of me. I didn't climb myself out of a hole, but the love of God brought me. The devil would love to have us hide in shame. What happened was Saul. Saul went up and he went to go do battle here in about chapter 13 against the Philistines there. And he gathered his army, 3,000 men, and he said, I'm going after them. What we find, though, is that their army was much bigger in number. Much larger army. So as they went to go do battle, the enemy started pushing back. The enemy started fighting back. You know what I have found? Every time that I try to fight something for, man, the enemy pushes back on me. The devil don't like to give ground up. The devil don't like to give up the ground. Amen. So as Saul began to push against them, they pushed back and they retreated. Children of Israel did. They retreated in fear. They hid in caves and in rocks and in thickets. And they said, I'm getting out of here. We done awoke something that we don't want no part of. The problem is they was acting out of fear instead of faith. When the devil pushes back against me and you today, we have two options, right? We can either fight or flight, right? Amen. Unfortunately, many people choose flight because it's easier to run. Some of us like to be an ostrich and just stick our head in the sand and act like, hey, it ain't going to touch me if I ain't paying attention to it. The problem is the enemy doesn't play by those rules. Amen. The enemy's coming for your children regardless of whether or not you acknowledge it or not. So you best wake up, get your head out of the sand, and let's fight the good fight. The enemy says, I know what you were. I know what you did. Nobody else in here knows what you did, but I know what you did. You're over there worshiping God. Yeah, but I know your secrets. You're over there praising God. Look at you. What a hell. They wouldn't allow you to praise the Lord if they knew what you'd been involved in. Amen? That's exactly what the devil loves to say to. If he can get you to hide in fear, if he can get you to hide in shame, if he can get you to hide in everything that you have been in, and get you to think that you're not worthy, then he has the upper hand in this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I know what I was, but that ain't what I is. Amen. I know where I've been, but that's not where I'm at. I know where I was before, but I know what my future holds. And it's nothing that the devil has for me. Amen. Amen. I told people this. I don't believe in family curses and all this other stuff. Just because daddy was and granddaddy was, or mommy is and grandmommy is, just because that stuff happened, that does not dictate who you are in Christ Jesus. My God doesn't do a half work on anybody. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Listen, as they sit there and they waited, Saul made that dumb decree, said, nobody gonna eat, nobody gonna eat. Bible says that Jonathan took his armor bearer and he said, what are we hiding for? Why are we down here whenever the Lord has given us the victory already? And he begins to climb up the wall, him and his armor bearer with him. And the funny thing is, the Bible even tells us that in all the land of Israel, there was only two people that had a sword at this time. And it was Saul and Jonathan. And let me tell you something. Saul hid the sword. Do not expect to win a battle if you hide the sword. Amen. You got to use the sword. Amen. Jonathan used the sword and he climbed up, and the Bible says that he wrought a great victory that day. He killed 20 in a half acre span, and then they all began to kill themselves. It was total disarray in the army. Something wild went on over there, and the children of Israel seen all this going on. They're like, what in the world's going on? They had no idea Jonathan was there. But what happens next I thought was really funny. It says that Jonathan comes back to his people. And they're in this forest. And the Bible says that there was honey dripping. There was honey dripping down everywhere. And all the children of Israel stood there and watched the honey drip. And not a one of them took a bite of it. I can imagine their mouths must have been watering. They're wore out. They're hungry. They want food. Jonathan wasn't there for the decree. He don't know nothing about it. Bible says he went over, got a spear, got a big old dollop of honey, and began to eat it. And all the people that sit around on this, can't believe that he just now done that. What's funny about it is God provided provision, but it was up to them to partake in what he provided. If you didn't get nothing out of worship tonight, that's on you. That ain't the Lord's fault. There was honey dripping off that piano. I'm telling you, I watched it. Josh hit a note on the guitar and honey flew off the end of it. It was there, amen. There was honey on the microphones. There was honey in the worship on the stage. Hey, even this pulpit is sticky right now. I'm telling you, there was honey all over this place. If you didn't partake in it, it's because you chose not to take what God provided. They decided it would be best to listen to man than to partake in what God has provided for them. I've always thought about this, and it's a funny little image I always have in my mind, but I always thought about, you know how a baby bird is? The big bird, whatever it's called, mommy bird, daddy bird, not the yellow one. It could be the yellow one, I guess. It'll have to eat it. And then the baby bird just sits there like this. and gets fed. A lot of Christians want to be baby birds. I don't want to chew it. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to fly to get it. I don't want anything that's going to cost me nothing. I'll sit there like this. If you put it in there, I'll eat it. But if you don't, that's all. I just ain't getting fed there. Well, then, honey, get up to the table and get a spoon. We just got to eat the honey sometimes. God provides it, eat the honey. God gives it, eat the honey. God has provided everything you need. Get a bite of the honey. Woo! Bible says his eyes were enlightened when he got a bite of it. That was sweet. At work, towards the end of the day, there's an office near mine, and that person always keeps fun-size candy bars. Whew. At the end of the day, I'm starting to crash. I got a long drive home, but I know if I can pop a Snicker, my eyes will be enlightened. I'll feel a lot better, right? Let me tell you something. You know what's funny? We can leave church tonight. If you go to Walmart, somebody ought to be able to tell that your eyes have been enlightened in here tonight. If you leave church tonight like this, you go to a restaurant looking like you're sucking on a lemon, hey, you've been in the presence of honey. You need to smile. Amen. God gives it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Boy, if we taste the goodness of the Lord, everything else just is bitter. Everything else don't taste good. But when I taste of what he has gave me, there's honey in the house of God. Amen. Amen. I'm sick. Well, eat the honey then. Amen. I'm depressed. Well, then eat some honey. Amen. Thank God today. I don't know what's going on with you, but eat the honey and feel the goodness of God. Years ago, one morning I woke up for work and my wife was up and she was making us a pot of coffee. And she sat down and she was drinking the coffee and she gave me a cup of coffee and I began to drink it. And it was the worst taste I've ever tasted in my life. She said, "It's a new cream I've got. Try this sweet cream," or whatever it was. It was awful and it tasted like an air freshener. And I was trying to figure out, is she poisoning me? What's going on right now? It tasted like a cab. Like a cab, yeah, a driving cab. And I was trying to figure out, why does this coffee taste that bad? And secondly, why is she enjoying it? The whole thing was weird. So I told her, I said, this coffee don't taste right. It tastes like I'm drinking a tree. And she's like, there's nothing wrong with the coffee. It's good. And she's drinking. And I can't do it. I began to investigate. And what I found was that she had left tarts on the coffee pot. And the tarts melted into the coffee. And what was supposed to be sweet turned out to taste like a pine tree. What I want to tell you today is this. Sometimes life is bitter. Sometimes marriages are bitter. Sometimes relationships get bitter. Sometimes your job's bitter. There are bitter moments in life that need the sweetness of God in it. You won't find it at Walmart. It's not in a store. You can't open a bottle and pour it out. You can't go to the pharmacy and get you a prescription of it. There is one place that the sweetness of God still flows. That's in the house of God. That's in the house of God. There is sweetness in his spirit. There is sweetness in being in the presence of the Almighty. Bible says the children of Israel, when they was leaving Egypt, and they had crossed over and they came to a place with bitter waters. And they began to complain, like, Lord, this water's too bitter. We can't drink it. You've brought us here to die. You've led us, which is amazing that they could complain considering what they had seen. But they got to this place. You've led us out from captivity and taken us to this place to die in this bitter water. And they began to pray, and the Bible says that God showed them a tree. He said, you cast this tree into the water, and the bitter waters will be made sweet. And I was thinking about it. There was a tree on Calvary that God said, you cast that tree into whatever bitterness that you have in your life right now. Whatever's going on in your life that you need the sweetness of God, that tree still flows with the honey. It still makes the bitter things sweet in your life. Thank God there's no darkness that can overcome it. Amen. There's no devil that can defeat it. There is a goodness and a sweetness that you can only get from God and God alone. He's the only one that can repair and prepare and, thank God, put back together things that are broken. He can restore. He can do it all. Nothing but the sweetness of God. When the enemy comes against you, eat the honey. Eat the honey. They come and get us a song tonight. I want to tell you something. I went through this time in my life where I began to think, you know what? I don't deserve the goodness of God. I don't deserve that God has been so good to me. I don't deserve the fact that I'm even here right now. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve my job. I don't deserve my vehicle. I don't deserve my family. I don't deserve this. Why would God provide for me the way that he had? I don't deserve it. And then I found out I was right. I don't. Still don't deserve it. I could preach every day for the rest of my life and never deserve an ounce of it. I could tell you stories that'll make your toes curl about where I've been and where God has brought me from. I don't deserve it. And neither do you. But when God provides the honey, I'm going to eat it. I don't deserve it, but I'm still going to partake in it. I don't deserve it, but God sure does love me. I don't deserve anything that he's done. You know what? Damon said that verse, that no greater love than a man has that he would lay down his life for his friends. The Bible goes on and it says, henceforth, I no longer call you servants. Servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I have called you friends. I've made all things known unto you. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're doing with your life. I don't know where you have been before, and that's all right. I don't have to. But let me tell you one that does. One that does is here tonight. The one that does is here in this room. The one that does is abundant in grace. The one that does is abundant in mercy. I said this before, but it pricks my heart. It says that this quote that I read, it said that Calvary didn't give us grace, but grace gave us Calvary. Whew. Calvary did not come because God wanted to restore us. That's not it. God had this plan long before me and you was ever here. Long before we ever done bad. Long before we ever done good. Long before sin. Long before anything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's your response? Eat the honey. That's my response. I'm going to get a little chew to get through. Amen. I'm going to eat that honey. That's what we need to do. When the Lord provides it, partake in it. Partake in it. You don't understand why somebody running up here in the Spirit? Well, walk a mile in his shoes. I guarantee you, you'd understand it, right? Amen. You don't know why somebody yells and screams and runs? will walk a mile in their shoes. You're going to understand. If you've been broke, thank God for the honey. If you've been down, thank God for the honey. If you've been cast out, cast down, in despair, in depression, thank God for the honey. Hey, if they sing today, if you need to pray, you come up here and pray. Thank God there's honey at this altar. There's honey in your seed. Hey, honey, get you a bite of it, amen. Don't leave here hungry. If the devil knows, if you can leave here hungry, you're going to be a weak Christian. But thank God, if you leave here with a belly full of honey, he don't want no part of that. Eat the honey. Eat the honey.